Well, that's a lesson for everybody. Don't let nobody drag your spirit down, says or sings Eric Bibb, the son of Leon Bibb, a Broadway star. He's no longer with us, but made quite a name for himself, and the son is picking up, or has picked up from where he left off. That is from his 2010 album, A Ship Called Love. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we are picking up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. It is, in fact, the designated election day, and there's a lot of excitement going on and a lot of anxiety and a lot of trepidation, and people are worried, and I'm not in any of those categories. I'm not. Whatever it is destined to be, it will be. Que sera, sera, as Doris Day used to sing. Whatever will be, will be. So, sometime later on, we will have a better picture of how things are going. And even so, it will not be the complete picture because the votes still are coming in and still have to be counted. This was a precedent-setting participation by the people in this election. Election 2020 has outdone itself. Lots and lots of people voting, and the whole nation is holding its breath to find out what the outcome will be. I don't get excited about these things. I used to, but I don't anymore. And particularly in this season, I'm not really waiting with bated breath to find out how it turns out. Why? Because from my vantage point, there is just cosmetic, it's largely cosmetic differences that we'll be concerned with when we talk about the differences between Biden and Trump. I do not see, and I'm not holding out the hope for dramatic systemic change. Except, of course, I see where with Trump, there is no prediction that you could make about how low he can sink. He's gone quite low already, but it seems as if he's plumbing the depths to find out how much lower he can go. Joe Biden is, I'm not all that enthusiastic about Joe Biden, although I'm really clear, if one had to choose, I would wince, but I would say, okay, I'll give Biden some more credibility than I would Trump for all kinds of reasons. But Biden has a lot of explaining to do. Or as Ricky Ricardo used to say, a lot of splaining to do. With regard to his record and African Americans, especially, but people of color generally. He's not the unabashed liberal that he has been painted as, and he paints himself as. He has already gotten by the close scrutiny that he deserved to have shining on him. And that is because, of course, he's got a lot of people, flanking him. We have the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, to whom he was the vice president. You have a lot of civil rights types just knocking themselves out, trying to convince the world what a great guy Joe Biden is, and he'll be a friend of the downtrodden and all that kind of stuff that people say around election time. I don't buy that stuff at all. I find it very upsetting, actually, that at election time, a lot of muck is shoved under the bed. So we don't see it, or we don't hear about it, and therefore we're not inclined to query further. And in this case, where Trump has already earned himself the reputation of being so crass and crude, corrupt, et cetera, it's like giving Biden a pass. No close scrutiny needed. Just say, elect him, because the biggest argument one could make is, well, he's not Trump. Sorry, but that doesn't sound like a good argument to me. But anyway, today is a day that a choice will be made one way or the other. It might go until tomorrow because of the heavy volume of votes that need to be counted. And we'll see. Inevitably, we will see what the result is. And whatever it is, we will have to prepare ourselves for reaction. Trump has already threatened all kinds of action if he doesn't win. Biden hasn't threatened any action if he doesn't win. But, you know, it is understood he expects to win. And we're getting intermittent reports from media outlets that so far he looks pretty good in his standing against Trump. But then there's a long way to go still. And lots of votes, millions of votes yet to be counted. But just to reiterate, I am not infatuated with either candidate. I'm one of those people who form the neither category. I'm not for this one or against this one. I just believe that neither of them is what we need right now. They don't have it. And even so, I think a very strong effort would be made to support Biden. And that means if Biden is selected as the winner, we will go another round of the same old ceremony that we have performed many, many times, and that is to set aside our legitimate grievances, to not deal with them, to forget they even exist. And in the interest of, you know, just let's get things going, we just wipe the slate clean. And I'm not one of those for wiping the slate clean. We have to take a look at the items on the slate, and we have to demand accountability. So that's my take. I'm not siding with either of the candidates. I find them both not helpful at this moment to communities and constituencies that are truly suffering. And speaking of suffering, we have the Congress. You know, they're all right. They're getting ready for Thanksgiving and partying and whatnot. People are suffering. And they'll get to them in good time. You know, when this hubbub is over and they can sit down again and try to negotiate what they are calling a stimulus package, they'll see to the people's needs at that time. Until then, just hurry up and wait. That's the attitude of Congress. So I am completely disaffected by all of these different intrigues, you know, people taking care of their business and not the people's business. They seem to their needs, not the people's needs. But anyway, it is nonetheless election day, and That means we expect some kind of a result for which we will be asked to behave one way or the other toward whatever the result is. I reserve the right to behave however and feel however I want to feel. I'm not forecasting how I will behave or what I think. I just believe that this has been such treachery, orchestrated treachery against the people. And it is, in my view, unforgivable what has been done to the people of the United States in recent months, in fact, in recent years, to make them suffer needlessly and to make them make the kinds of sacrifices nobody in the White House is prepared to make, nobody in Congress is making, nobody in office, nobody who's making a multi-million dollar income. They don't have to worry. But people truly are suffering, and we see very little effort being made to inspire any kind of hope that the government actually understands this and is doing everything that they can. You know, they're breaking their necks to get things done. We don't see that. And I don't know if we will see that, but so far we don't see it, and we should have seen a great deal of effort put out by now. It's not happening. All right, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. What are your thoughts on this day, the actual day of election? What do you see as the end game here? What is going to happen? What do you think your role will be as of tonight or tomorrow? What do you see yourself having to do in order to just cope with the next year after this election? How do you view this election? What does it mean to us, the people, that this election is being held? The kinds of shenanigans we have seen, all sides pulling, the predatory nature, I think that's a good word for how government as a whole has been behaving, and the lack of empathy, the lack of understanding that the people are really suffering out here, very much so. And they are at the brink. And I have never seen, in all my years, I've never seen a government acting more callously to that very fact, that there are people who are suffering for all kinds of reasons, but suffering, great suffering in this country. And there's also great ignoring of their suffering. They'll just have to wait until we're ready and able to take care of things. That's what we're talking about today. It is a historic moment in time. And for all kinds of reasons, I'd like to know how you assess this election this year, the 2020 election. What did you hope would happen so far? I mean, this besides the business of who gets elected or whatnot, but I'm talking about transformationally. What were you hoping would have happened by now to give you a signal as to where we are going as a nation? Has it happened or has it not happened? As I said, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I want to hear what you are thinking. Everybody's doing our thinking. What are you thinking? What is important to you what do you feel about the way things are going and the way things have gone and the way things will go in the very near future? We start off with Henry from Chicago. You're on the air. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Trace. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, same here. It's going. I guess as far as what am I going to do past this election, whether Trump wins or Biden wins, for me, my first objective over the next year or 4 years is to not catch COVID, for one, because, you know, it's so funny. It's like, well, it's really not funny, but everybody's focused on this election and the coronavirus rates are just constantly going up and up and up and up. And, you know, at the workplace that I'm at, you know, we've had cases of outbreaks. So it's like, you know, this thing is hitting too close to home for me now. So now, you know, we're in the process of getting tested and making sure that, you know, I don't have it or any of my family members have it now because, you know, at the places they're at, they're being affected. So that's one. But I was hoping that and noticing this election cycle that is happening now, I feel that the supporters on both sides, they've come up, they haven't had rational reasons why they're voting for these people. I feel like people have too many excuses for Trump, too many excuses for Biden, these supporters. And it seems like politically we've gotten dumber, and I don't know if we've gotten dumber, but I know we're not seeing what we're supposed to be seeing. And I don't know if it's just the basis of just individualism. This is what Trump is going to do for me. This is what Biden's going to do for me. But it just seems like nobody is like really looking at the bigger picture of these two primary candidates that are running. And I feel like the next election is possibly going to be worse.
Well, as I said, I'm satisfied right now. If I should take a leave of absence from politics altogether, I'm so disgusted with it. I'm satisfied that I gave it a good try. You know, I gave it a good try. I gave these people enough time and space to really do their thing in behalf of Americans and especially those who are suffering. And I'm totally tuned out now, completely. Thanks for getting us started today, Henry. Good to hear from you. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. Hope all is well. Hope everyone out there is doing well on this day. Basically, glad it's over. I'm so happy that today is the day that everyone will get the chance to give their vote and their protest. But I'm also looking forward to the games to begin by 10 o'clock tonight when our boy, the president, will begin his shenanigans that I believe will lead to him being right back in office come January 21st. It's going to be an interesting display on how propaganda is used and media is manipulated to get the job done. And like I said, when it's all said and done, he'll be back in office January 21st, and the people will be in the same position that they're in today, with no direction, no clear understanding on what happened, demoralized, and all of the things that come along with just being basically hoodwinked and bamboozled. And the sad thing is that they won't know how to process, how to come together and make the necessary changes so that someone could be punished 2 years from now and someone could also be punished 4 years from now. The gatekeepers, some will keep their jobs and some will lose their jobs. And a new crop of gatekeepers will come to keep you on this electoral, as one would say, bandwagon of thinking that this vote is going to make any sort of changes in the direction that your life is going to go. And that is one of the tragedies. But, Utrecht, I have a quick question I'd like to ask you that maybe you could help me with. They have certain candidates that have raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and I'm not sure if they spend all of that hundred millions of dollars. Could you tell me what happens to that money now that the election is over?
Well, the election might be over, but their political aspirations might not be. They may somehow invent or reinvent themselves for something in the very near future to which they would apply the money that they haven't used. Supposedly, this is money that should go back to the people who contributed it, but there's a lot of people doing healthy fundraising, knowing that they will not win the race that they're running in, and they would kind of store it for another time in the near future and see if they can somehow swing these unused funds that way. It's supposed to be illegal to do that, but the word is that it happens all the time. Thanks for calling in and starting us today. Jean from Maryland, you're on the air. Hello, Jean. Okay, G from New York City, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, you're...
Oh, okay.
This is who?
Hello? Okay. I was listening to what you were saying, and it kind of reminds me of something.
To whom am I speaking?
I'm G in New York City.
Okay, Jean. I had called your name, but I didn't hear a response, so... Okay, I'm glad
I'm
that
here.
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay, it just reminds me of something that, Ultimatics used to say, is that very often people will not ask the right questions of the right people, and so we don't get the right results. And it seems like that's what goes on in politics. We don't see the right things in the right way. We don't get the right understanding. I was listening to someone a little while ago. I'd never heard this person before. I forgot the name of his program, but he was saying that one reason why a lot of the Trump people support him, I'm not saying this is the only reason, is that these people will get out, the politicians will get out, and they'll say, oh, the reason why, these regulations are going to hurt you is because you're going to lose your job. So they're going to tell them something that will cause them the fear. And apparently Republicans very often, I'm not saying that's the only thing that they operate on, but apparently it's one of them, is fear. And I don't hear too much on this side of why these Republicans react this way. So I wanted to learn more of what's happening with them so that if I take any action, if I do any involvement, then I have a better mindset of what's happening. I think
Keeping abreast of what's going on. What do you believe is happening within Republican circles right about now?
Well, I believe that they're probably getting a lot of manipulation. You know, the whole three-card Monte game, you know, of manipulation.
You get the sense that the Republicans themselves are having some unity problems because it's fragmented now because of Trump, which is who's a major reason for friction within the party. But mm-hmm. also there seems to be a cleavage within the party. Before, yes. not too long ago, Republicans had at least the image was that they were together.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like their politics or not, you know, they operated as a party. Mm-hmm. You get the sense now that they're fragmented. You have, in fact, open critiques coming from Republicans against the Republican Party and the, mm-hmm. the party officials. You mm-hmm. have people organizing, Republicans organizing against Republicans and the party. So mm-hmm. it's a very interesting development within the party. And you look at the conduct of many Republicans who have had it with this right. Ultra-right move that the party has been making, and the fact that it supports Trump wholeheartedly and his exactly. odious philosophies and his administration. They can't stand him. And the right. party is having a problem right now with unifying because they differ markedly within the party about, you know, the standards that they have come to endorse. They don't right. like it.
Well, you know, I didn't do this as much, but I, you know, sometimes I listen to different programs from the past, and I think there was someone named Buckley that was
yes.
a commentator and Republican, and I remember sometime in the past, so I'll, you know, be brief.
William,
you know, I listened
to
I listened to one of his programs, and it seems like in the past, Republicans, I always heard the word were conservative. They were conservative on spending, conservative. They seem to be people that had, I might not have agreed with their politics, but they seem to have a kind of a rational, logical outlook. Again, it doesn't mean it was my logic, but it was rational. Now it seems like it's not like that. I'm not saying that all Republicans are like that, but it seems that Mr. Trump
that.
Is captured.
That.
I'm sorry?
Express yourself. You don't have to.
Oh, I am. I'm just saying that it doesn't seem like they're all like that. But Mr. Trump has captured people who are disgruntled with the way things have gone on the Democratic side and the hopeful side and the things that they didn't get, you know, the offshoring of jobs, that the technology that is beating out their jobs, that the pits of in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, all these places where you used to be able to get a job if you didn't have a master's degree. You didn't need one. Now you need a freaking master's degree to get a basic job out here in the country. And so a lot of people are upset. So they don't want to go the Democratic way. They want to go another way. So they're trying out this guy. And I don't know if all of the people who went with this guy, number 45, I don't know if they're all going to stay with him. But I suspect many of them won't because the kind of stuff that's going on is just too out of line.
It's outrageous.
It's,
and
yes.
Republicans, I mean, they can tolerate certain things.
Perhaps,
but
yeah.
this guy went way over the, over the line and stayed there.
Yep.
And threw the entire party out of kilter. So
but he's working
the
for
party
somebody,
has
though.
Some friction within it, people who want to return to the so-called old values of the Republican Party. And I'm mm-hmm. not saying that pejoratively. I mean, the party had its outlook, it had its code of conduct, it had its way of operating. It was mm-hmm. very white. It's like that. It still
yeah.
is like that. But
yeah.
the fact is that the party has moved radically, and it has scared a lot of Republicans where the party has gone under Trump. They don't like it at all. In fact, they blame him for just basically fracturing this party.
Yeah.
And Trump himself, he doesn't care because
no,
he started out as having an axe to grind against the elite, as the people would say, the Republican elite. He didn't like them, has openly criticized them, and said some really vitriolic things. He has not conducted himself in a statesmanlike way. Right. So there's a lot of grief that he has caused within the party, and I don't know how they'll fix it, but that's their job. They have to fix it.
Well, I think now these things that is happening, you know, I was thinking about your questions that you've been asking, like, you know, what are you, you know, listener, going to do? And I thought about, well, you know, what have I been doing? And, you know, I think some of the things I've been doing, I see if I can continue to do. I do want to participate more, but I'll have to be careful, because with this guy, number 45, if he gets back in, you look and see what's happening, the shootings, the beatings. I mean, I heard that there was an incident similar in New York City, in, I think, Midtown. And so, you know, he seems to be getting his cues from perhaps that book, Mein Kampf, you know, Hitler, those type of rough tactics, just grab and take. And he's working for someone to put in all the judges. I just kind of question someone who's been bankrupt, someone who's not a good businessman, someone who's got mental problems and stuff like that. What is his purpose? Well, who could back him? Because it seems like you got to be backed to get that high up. But if you can put in the judges, look at what Mr. Whitehouse from Rhode Island was saying, that Coney Barrett has a purpose as far as pushing the far right conservative business agenda and all these things. So I guess if they've got an agenda, what's other people's agenda? You know, I think that's what you're asking. What did I want to see?
Yes.
I would have liked to have seen the tax situation be more beneficial to the average guy, where you got more money back like before. Okay, I didn't see that. I would have liked to see the students get money back, or not have the freaking high prices so high that you can't afford to have a family. You know, and that's not just their generation. There are other generations in this country that couldn't afford to have a family. I would have liked to have seen what's that legislation that everyone talks about, Citizens United, where you the corporation is a person. We need to get rid of that. You need affordable care. You know, and not just affordable care where you're crawling in half dead and then they give you a pill. You need to be preventative. You know,
what you're saying.
It's a dream, but I mean,
we need it in the context of individual action. It also. The issue should be raised in terms of the Democratic Party, which is supposed to be an opposition party. We're not seeing the party behave like an opposition party. It hasn't been behaving like an opposition party for quite some time.
Yeah.
It seems to be okay with the way things are going, and every now and then they bark at something. To let people know that they're still around and they disagree. But as a party, as a structural opposition party, no, it's not working. It's not effective. There's a lot that has to happen. Thanks, Gene, for calling in and participating today. I appreciate it. G from, I think, New York City. You're on the air.
We did that. Gene from Maryland. Gene from Maryland.
Yes, we just did Gene from Maryland. But
no,
I'm saying...
No, we did G from New York City. We need to do Gene from Maryland.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Gene from Maryland. I got confused.
Yes. Hi, Idris. Yeah, got a little mixed up there.
Yes, I did. You know, Edge catches up with you in a sneaky way.
I know it well. So you asked a question starting where what our expectation was for change and what we were hoping for. And I would suggest that, you know, our hopes have been usurped by a number of other priorities. And I do recall, and I can't quite remember who it was, but somebody said something about hope and change. And I recall that, and we didn't get very much from it.
Might you be referring to Mr. Obama?
That's possible. That name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yes. Vaguely familiar.
Vaguely familiar. But I think we would do ourselves a favor to look at the history of what President Clinton, with all of the things that he brought to us with NAFTA and GMOs and all these things that really kind of worked against us and hurt us. We take a look at the things that President Obama brought to us, the NDAA, additional wars, and so on. The list is so long. And for us to expect and hope that Joe Biden is going to do anything different than the other two, I think is a mistake and is delusional. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, none of them have described what they will do to undo the things that President Trump has put in action. We haven't heard about undoing anything simple, like an executive order. And there's a truckload of them, let alone things that need to be undone legislatively. They've been silent. So I think for us to hope and expect something different will lead to nothing but disappointment for us.
Just the same, if you had your druthers, where would you start for yourself?
I really honestly don't have an expectation that we're going to see anything good out of Joe Biden, or as I like to call him, and you'll remember and get a chuckle from this, Mr. O'Biden. We will find a lot of warmed over Obama policies and warmed over Obama people. And there was a report that came out in the New York Times early last week, which noted that the Biden campaign had begun vetting cabinet picks. And the thing about that and the list of names that were there, which disgusted me so, was the Democratic Party knew and was supported and got themselves to the position within the electorate because of Bernie Sanders. And all of the people that were being vetted for cabinet picks were your standard DLC Democratic Party faithfuls. And it just gave a complete smack in the face to not just Bernie Sanders, but the Bernie Sanders voters who were tricked and cajoled into supporting the party.
No, I have to challenge you on this notion that
certainly
the party did such a bad thing. The party did what it always does.
Well,
it is the
that
people
on your
who walked away from the responsibility to keep them in check. You may recall, I talked about Bernie Sanders basically walking away from the responsibility that I thought he had and which he gained support for from Democratic voters and from progressives as well. You don't just walk away. This is turf that has been conquered, and you use your clout to call some shots on things. You don't just walk away and leave it again up to the party that just finished, you know, beating you to a frazzle, even though you were victorious, you walked away. You did this the wrong way. You may recall that I took him to task for that. This is not the way you quit.
You may recall, Utrice, I'm the one that called in and suggested that Bernie was a fraud. Now, there is
See,
also
I don't
a difference.
Think he's a fraud.
There is a difference.
I don't think he's a fraud. I wouldn't go that far to call him a fraud. There are other people
we can disagree
who are.
On that.
I don't think he's a fraud. I think he made a serious error. Made a couple of serious errors. And the ultimate error, meaning the last one that he did, was just packing it in and taking off. And not
He's done that
seeing
twice.
The process through. And saying, my supporters helped me conquer this much turf. These are the things we ought to insist that the party get done and win at doing. But he didn't do that. He did not leave
that's
race in a graceful fashion at all.
That's fine. But I think the point that I was making is there is a distinction between Bernie, the candidate, the party, and the electorate who supported Bernie. And my comment to you was that the party has simply smacked the electorate that supported Bernie in the face, which has nothing to do with Bernie himself. It has to do with the
It has a lot to do
party.
With Bernie, because those are your people. Whether you are officially on the ballot or not, those are the people who put you in a position of influence.
I think you're letting the party off the hook.
You have to fight. You have to fight and represent and really do it well. Bring it to fruition. You cannot just walk away and say, let the other guys take over now. Bad news.
But Bernie's unwillingness to fight has nothing to do with Joe Biden vetting cabinet potential picks according to what the party's orders are. Bernie has nothing to do with that. The electorate is going to be voting today. And that's the point that I'm making, is that the people who support the party, the people, are just thrown to the wayside.
Well, the people are not just thrown. It's just that they haven't figured out what the alternative is yet. They're confused. They lost. They've been abandoned. They've been betrayed. You can't blame the people. They have had
cogent
sense of direction, and therefore they don't know where to put their energies. They haven't been given that information or that option. The Democratic Party failed miserably, miserably, and just left the people there hanging with no directions as to, where they should start directing their energy, what they should do. It was an atrocious act, I think, and one which Sanders still has not explained. He has not explained himself, and people are owed an explanation. I don't think he will give one.
No,
but that was bad business. He did a bad piece of business there.
Well, again, I simply say that the party has thrown the people away, and they don't care.
Well, the party, yes, but the people initially did not vote for the Democratic Party. That's my point.
Yeah, I get that.
They were bamboozled. They were taken advantage of. They were misled. They were misinformed. They were misused. They were abused. And there's a lot that Bernie has to explain, and the Democrats as well. They have to explain a great deal, and they have to be more involved in the healing of this party. A lot of people were so disaffected, so disappointed, and they haven't even gotten over it yet. It was a very deep wound. Thanks for calling in and contributing
Thank
today. Thank you. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon, Bill.
In regards to your opening statement, I'll quote Smokey Robinson and say I second that emotion. I agree wholeheartedly. As far as the election, I can guarantee two things we'll know tomorrow. We'll know that we have a mentally challenged, crazy, self-serving, racist jerk for a president, regardless of whether it's Biden or Trump. One of them will be president, and both of them are bad for us. So what can we do? Well, like the sun rises tomorrow and shines, that's what we do. I'm going to rise tomorrow, and I'm going to shine. And that is the history of the descendants of slaves, especially in this country. No matter what the storms, no matter what the clouds, no matter what comes, we rise and we shine. And tomorrow will not be any different, regardless of who the new or old president is.
Well, I admire that attitude, but I say also sharpen the knives, because we have to be very, very on point. We can't afford to misread anything. We can't afford to buy whatever it is they're selling, automatically believing that they're telling us the truth and they're working in our interests and all of that. That's nothing to take for granted at all.
Absolutely
so
not.
We have to be very much on point.
And that's something that, again, the descendants of slaves in this country, us, that's something that we have a history of doing. We distrust unless we have reason to trust, whether someone has proven themselves trustworthy. And I find it ironic that during this administration, black people have taken hold of the FBI as some kind of friend of ours, that the FBI is telling us the truth and the FBI is investigating Trump and the FBI is going to give us the straight scoop, when the FBI has never been our friend. There is no history of that, and they are not trustworthy, and they should be disbelieved before being believed. But just
thanks, Bill, for
side
your
note.
Comment today. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Therese.
Hello.
Hey, que sera, sera. That was one of my mom's favorites. Whenever I was asking too many questions, she'd sing that one to me.
Que sera, sera.
Where did you first hear that one?
Oh, in a movie. My father owned a movie theater, and
right.
That was one of the movies that I saw, and there's Doris Day singing, Que sera, sera.
Oh, I didn't know it was in a movie. My mom used to my mom liked to sing. She had a nice voice. Sometimes I request a song here and there, but it was a hobby, you know, she liked to do that. And so I was just wondering when we're going to get tired of being lied to. Do you think that would ever happen? I've been wondering. I'm 66 years old, and I've been wondering that since I was 9 years old. Don't sing K Sera Sera to me now, because I'm asking a tough question.
Well, what are you inclined to believe as of, let's say, later tonight, as to what your situation will be as a citizen, post-election citizen?
It's going to be the same that it's been since John F. Kennedy was murdered. And I'm living in a world where people are living in a fantasy, an illusion. This is all scripted out for us to believe in. And they know exactly how we're going to react to everything they put out there. and we're doing it. We're complying and we're obeying. Look what they've done with this virus. They got half the people complying and obeying, and the other half wants to not wear the mask and doesn't believe that things need to be shut down. So they divide us apart on every issue you could put out there, and it's just frustrating for me that all the way back in 1967, a man who I consider one of the greatest men of the 20th century said, "The dream has become a nightmare." Think of how hard that must have been for him to have to say that. You know, my heart goes out to the man who for 20 years prior talked about a dream, talked about hope, talked about a promised land. And then to suddenly have to say that in 1967, because he knew that his time was short and he wanted to get a message out to people. It's time to get out of Dodge. And I don't think enough people caught on to that. And that's why I keep bringing it up. But I'm not getting any reaction from the rest of the PRN family to those words. And I think they're very important words. The dream has become a nightmare, and we better wake up and get with the swing of things. Gary Null's getting there. A lot of people are getting there. One of my favorite shows on PRN, The Plutocracy Report. People should listen to Vince Mercanti. He's saying what I'm saying, and he's on the air here on this network. Vince Mercanti, Friday night, Friday from 4 to 5, The Plutocracy Report. Okay? One of my favorite shows on PRN.
What does your gut tell you about the news we might hear tonight?
My gut tells me that it's going to be another. It's going to be another show like we had the last time, where Hillary really wasn't trying to win; she just was trying to make sure Trump wins. So they put, would Biden ever be able to beat anybody else besides Trump? So this makes me wonder: are they going to let Biden win? But I think they spent too much time getting Trump to play this part that they would let that happen. So I'm expecting the same kind of thing. There'll probably be contests by the Democrats, and it'll go on for a while. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but
I was trying to get a sense from you. What does your gut tell you the outcome will be?
My gut tells me we live in a capitalist country, which profit margin is the most important thing. People don't matter. Money is what matters. And if you're going to have a person,
when all is said and done, your gut, what does your gut tell you?
And running the country, since it's capitalist, the country, that makes more sense than a long politician thief.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks, E, for calling in. Thank you all for calling in and contributing today. We'll all see what the result is. The main thing is don't despair. Don't run around holding your head and screaming, although you may very well feel like doing that. But we'll see how it all turns out. And therefore, what our next move will have to be. Thanks again, and let's get together again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Oh.